Welcome to another TGG Extra from the 2014 Gamma Trade Show in Las Vegas. On this edition, I talk with James Ernest of Cheap Ass Games, straight from the floor of the show. As usual, I'm your host, Jeff McAleer. Hiya, gang. Well, I returned from the Gamma Trade Show in Las Vegas and once again had to set right back out on the road, so it took a little while to get some of the remaining interviews edited. But one I wanted to get out there as quickly as possible was my chat with James Ernest from Cheap Ass Games. I'd seen some titles from the company before, but now, with the rise of Kickstarter, the titles coming out are really worthy of taking a solid peek at. So let's hear what's been cooking at Cheap Ass Games.
Here at the Gamma Trade Show, I'm sitting down with James Ernest from Cheap Ass Games.
Hello.
I know Cheap Ass has been around for a long time, and yep. I'm not going to bleep Cheap Ass. I mean, come on. You mainly in the past, I believe, were more kind of like print and play or print on demand?
Well, we started in 1996, and we specialized in low-budget games. It wasn't print on demand,
okay.
But it was games under $10, black and white games in envelopes and boxes, and we branched out and did some color games as well, but we kind of had a $15 ceiling for like that first 12 years. We went on a hiatus for a while. I went to work in the computer game industry and sold down some of our older stock. I like to joke that I put the company in cryogenic freeze until medical science came up with a way to make us live again, and that medical science is called Kickstarter. So now we raise money on Kickstarter, and our games are very deluxe, actually, the ones that we finance through crowdfunding because we have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of have a three-tiered product line. Now we still do some black and white games in a $7 to $15 range, and we do some color games in the $10 to $40 range, and then a lot of our older products are completely free online.
Nice. I know you kickstarted the Get Lucky card game.
That's right.
Am I correct?
That's right.
Okay. Because I know I posted a news piece about it. You've got that, which I believe is coming out shortly?
Yeah, I just got a call from the printer this morning, actually. The containers are a day late or something. But, yeah, that's going to be in retail definitely by May, if not the end of April.
Okay.
And Get Lucky is the card game version of the classic board game, Kill Dr. Lucky.
Sure.
It's faster and simpler and a little bit different and a little bit the same. It's got some good, funny characters now, the characters with all their built-in motives and why they want to kill him. And you build up their strength. And Dr. Lucky moves not on a map. He just moves by the numbers on the characters. And so when you've got him, it's your turn, and your characters can try to kill him. It'll be familiar if you know the board game. It's new. I played it with some new players again this morning, and they really liked it. One of them had played the board game, one of them hadn't, and so they had different takes on it, but they both liked it quite a bit, and we're excited about getting it out in stores.
Is it a little more twisted than the board game? Maybe a little more twisted sense of humor?
It's always had a twisted sense of humor, but the character cards give us a great opportunity to tell a lot more story.
Okay.
In the board game, there is some suggestions of why you might want to kill Dr. Lucky, but there's no real characterization.
There's not a lot of narrative.
Right, and this one, there's every character's got a history, and they're all insane, and you can't really trust anything that any of them says, but they have their reasons.
If I remember correctly from the Kickstarter project, I might be wrong, but isn't there a dog or a cat?
That's not from the Kickstarter project. That was an expansion that was done for the board game.
Okay.
It was Kill Dr. Lucky and his little dog, too. And
there you go,
That was a standalone for a short while, and then they incorporated it into the board game. Paizo Publishing actually does the board game right now, and we have sort of a joint trademark on that because there's products that are sort of too small for their radar, and there's projects that are too big for me. And right now, we sort of share the Dr. Lucky.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Now, you've got another title coming out, which I believe I just saw, is Unexploded Cow. Am I getting that right?
That's right. Unexploded Cow was our first Kickstarter project about a year and a half ago. And it is a game where you are all entrepreneurs who have discovered two problems with a common solution. That's mad cows in England and unexploded bombs in France. So you take these cows and you march them through the fields of France, and they discover all this leftover ordnance from World War I and World War II, and they explode, of course, and that gets you money, and then everybody's happy. The game game has always been fun. We had a black and white version, of course, a long time ago, and the Kickstarter was a new color edition with better rules and upgraded art and just a nice presentation.
Nice.
We like doing that.
What are some of the other games that you either have available that you're very excited about or that are currently just on the horizon?
Well, a couple of games we didn't kickstart last year. We called them the Spring 3 because we printed them all together, but they included Fish Cook, which is a black and white box game. It's a simple game about cooking fish. It's a nice little economic sim. It's very tight, a lot of tension in the game. We did a game called Veritas in the same box, which is about the truth, trying to stay alive in the Dark Ages in France. And you do that by being copied in books in monasteries. So everyone's got little stacks of books, and they're using them to take over France and multiply and cover up regions. Very tactical strategy game. The only random thing in that game is that in between turns, a monastery always burns down. Because it's the Dark Ages.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess the Vikings show up.
There are actually many historical reasons for this to happen from all different directions. But I had somebody play the game at Gen Con, and he's a scholar, and he's very interested in how the Bible evolved through this exact process.
Right, sure.
And he got to talking to me about this, and how much research had I done, and did I know much about it? And I said, I knew enough to make this game, but not much more. What can you tell me about it? And he said, you should really read some books.
Oh, man. How the Irish saved civilization. Right?
Yes, that's true. I would love to do an expansion in Ireland for exactly that reason.
Yes.
Another couple of games we're working on. One of our other Kickstarter projects was called Deadwood Studios USA. That's a reprint of a game called Deadwood that we did in 99.
Okay.
That's a game about making movies. You are bit actors on a Western backlot, and you are competing to raise your status and make money in the cutthroat world of making terrible movies.
So you can become a C-lister?
Basically, yes. Right. The highest rank you can get in a game is a 6, but we tell everyone that if you're not a 10, then you don't count. And then our newest game, which we just finished kickstarting, is going to come out in the fall, and it's called Pears. And it's
I just saw that. I did a news piece. You just started that Kickstarter recently.
We just finished it on Friday.
Finished it, okay.
Yeah, we just finished it on Friday. And that is we're calling it a new classic pub game. It's a very simple card game. It's very easy to learn. It's portable. It's compact. It plays really fast. All the things that make it a good pub game, including the fact that in this particular game, there's only one loser. That's not a winner. So the one loser is the person who has to pay the penalty, which is whatever, to take a drink or pay for the drink.
Buy a round.
Tell a joke or, you know, eat a lemon drop or whatever your penalty is.
Sure, right, right. It doesn't have to be played in a pub, but it would
fit
in nicely.
But it's certainly perfect for it. And it was actually invented for exactly that purpose. We wanted to sell it to pubs, and it was a pretty modest project, but it turned into a really popular game. We playtested it all through the fall, and many people said, you've got to do more with this. And we did quite a lot through the Kickstarter. We have a lot of different versions of the deck.
Different decks, different artwork. If I remember correctly, you've got a Baby Cthulhu.
Yeah, John Kovalik is doing a Baby Cthulhu deck for us. And we have decks from Echo Chernik, Phil Folio, Pete Venters, Brett Bean, several decks based on the Name of the Wind books by Patrick Rothfuss, and so on. A dozen, 11 decks in all, and then the 12th deck in that project was Falling, which is a totally different game, but it happens to have the same number of cards, so we can print them all together.
I did remember seeing some of the artwork on those, and it was phenomenal. I mean, really nice. You wouldn't be embarrassed to be busting that out at the local saloon, playing with your friends. Probably have a lot of people coming over going, what are you playing?
That's exactly how it works, actually. We were some friends and I were playing at Binion's downtown Las Vegas over the weekend, and the waitress was legitimately interested and wanted to know where she could buy it, and the bartender came over and had the same reaction, and we're just like, I cannot wait to tell you how you can buy this, but you have to wait 6 months.
Right.
And as far as the art goes, you know, Kickstarter is a real boon for companies like mine and for artists as well, because if an artist has a high rate because they're in high demand, I can't necessarily afford that out of my own pocket.
Right.
Like, I can build that cost into the Kickstarter, and then if we succeed, we have the budget to pay the artist.
Exactly, yes. I did see that, and I tend to be more of a heavier gamer, but that really caught my eye. That was one of the reasons why I had posted.
Yeah, that's good. You know, Pears is going to be a time killer, a filler for a lot of people, and that's fine too, but it scales really well. People can come and go. So if you're waiting for your game group to accumulate, start up a two-player game of Pears, and people can join whenever they want, and when you're all there, then it's time to play your bigger game.
If I remember correctly, I believe the game plan is kind of to have a little bit different MSRPs on it. I guess there's like a base set that
we talked about it in the campaign. team, we talked about doing different versions with different MSRPs. I believe that they're all going to have an MSRP of $10 now.
But okay.
A lot of them are going to be limited, so I would expect that the actual retail price is going to go up as those smaller print runs sort of sure. diminish out of the market.
You better grab them while you can, otherwise you'll have to hunt them down.
That was certainly the messaging during the Kickstarter project. We couldn't really decide which one. We didn't know which ones were going to be in large print runs before we got the survey information. But we will definitely print a few extras of everything.
Sure.
And
sure.
It'll be in retail somewhere, and it'll be on eBay somewhere, but who knows for how long and for how much.
You snooze, you lose. That's what it really boils down to.
And I think that's probably better. I certainly don't want to try to carry all this stuff deep. It's nice to have all the versions, but there's no reason I need to sit on all of those.
Right, have all that inventory.
So we'll pick our favorites. We'll sort of pull the retail stores and, of course, look at the survey results. And when all of the art comes in, we'll pick which ones we like the best. And,
nice.
And those ones will be... The fruit deck is the most basic deck. It's mm-hmm. got just fruits and vegetables
sure.
on it. And it's kind of similar to a slot machine and mm-hmm. the sort of generic theming that it has,
right.
which makes it really sort of mass market friendly. When you play this game in a bar, people are not scared by it. And so I think the fruit deck is definitely going to be one of
Nobody's
our...
Nobody's wearing a wizard costume.
You know what I mean, though, right?
I know exactly what
Hobby
you mean.
Hobby games have a certain look, and that is a way to communicate with your fans and attract them, but it's also a way to sort of dismiss non-fans, right? And we want to be as inclusive as we can with at least our sort of core deck of pairs.
It's sort of funny because I am known for actually playing. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the board game Twilight Struggle.
Sure.
I play that in pubs. First few times, first people I'd play it with, they were a little, I don't know, man. They're going to give us weird looks. Amazingly enough, we get tons of people coming over asking what it is.
That's good.
Kind of explain it to them. They're like, oh my God, that sounds fantastic.
Yep. And a game like Pairs is so portable and so quick that I think that that kind of viral spread is quite possible with it. We just have to be very smart about the answer to the question of where do I get this? I mean, we need to make sure that there is a good story for that and people know where to find it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Speaking of that, let's say anyone wants to check out the multitude of different games that you have available in different price ranges. Where would that website be
that would visit? Be cheapass.com. Quite easy to remember.
Wonderful. Any last words that you'd like to share with our audience?
No, thank you very much. It's nice to be interviewed and get a little noise on the web.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me. Enjoy the rest of the trade show.
I will. Glad I could be here.
Once again, a big thanks to James Ernest for taking time out to discuss all things cheap-ass games. If you're interested in learning any more about the titles we chatted about, you can certainly visit cheapass.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, here's hoping you visit thegaminggang.com for all the latest gaming news, reviews, and a whole lot more.